The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
And a very big welcome to Carlow's Lauren Whelan. You will know her as the TikToker, not just any old TikToker, of course, 1.7 million followers. And she's been praised this week for talking about the importance of the Irish language in her life. She was on the RTE show Upfront with Katie Hannan during the week. And it was really lovely to hear about the upsurge in the Irish language with young people and young adults. There's been so much talk about it, and it's really great to see Lauren joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Lauren.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, how are you getting on? You're not living in Carlow at the moment, are you? So you've left us in the southeast.
Yeah, I've left Carlow. I'm in the big smoke now. So,
are you going home tomorrow for the parade?
I'm actually not.
No.
I'm going to celebrate it up here in Dublin. My friends are DJing, so I'm going to go watch them.
Yeah. Okay, so no vintage tractors for you.
No vintage tractors for me, unfortunately.
So let's talk about the Irish language. And there's been so much chatter about it recently, and it's so lovely to see. And I think people are trying to break down whether it's been influencers or kneecap that have really made this kind of resurge in our love of our language. But how did it all start for you, Lauren?
So I went to Gael School and Gael College to Carlock, and I've been to the Gael Talks and stuff like that as well. So yeah, I kind of just grew up with my Irish. I did all my exams, everything through Irish, and it's actually brought me a lot of opportunities, even with work. I did Realty in the Gael Talk to, I think that was 2 years ago now.
Okay.
So that was a TV show on RTE, mm-hmm. and they sent us to Donegal, and I got to like experience the Gael Talks again. It was really, really fun. I've just always loved it.
How brilliant. And do you know why you were sent to Irish school all the way through? Was it just that it was close by you? Is there something your family are really dedicated to as well?
No, so there's actually nobody else in my family that are Irish speakers.
Okay.
But I think my mom just really wanted me to have some Irish. I think she would always say that she kind of struggled with it when she was in school, like doing her exam. So she always thought like she's definitely going to send me to a Gael school so that if I did want to go to like an English speaking school afterwards, I'd have my Irish so much better for when I had to sit it for my leaving cert and stuff. But yeah, like me and my brother, we both decided to go to the Gael Colosta after the Gael school as well. And we just all really, really loved it.
Yeah, and I've been to the Gael Colosta in Carlow. It's really lucky to have both primary schools and a secondary school through Irish in a county town, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. That was one of the issues that was brought up when I was on Upfront with Katie Hannan. It was that there was a group of mothers there that were kind of campaigning for more Gael Colosta in South County Dublin, because there's a lot of Gael schools, but then no options for people to go to a Gael Colosta after that, which is a huge issue.
Yeah, it really is. And have you seen then like more people talking Irish? And can we say, oh, that's because of kneecap? Like, what do you think about it?
Do you know what? I really do think it is because of them. They are the reason I think that young people are kind of like realizing that it's cool. I'd mentioned it when I was on Upfront as well. I think it's because so many people are emigrating. Like every single one of my friends have moved to Australia or the UK or Canada. And I think people, they just want to feel a bit more connected to their culture, even though they're not really here anymore. And they're feeling patriotic because obviously I think when you're abroad, you kind of realize that everyone loves Irish people. So it's not just about like being Irish. It's like the language is such a huge part of our culture. But I do really think that kneecap kind of really brought it to life and showed people like it's not just about exams.
Yeah.
It's a way of life.
And it can be so cool as well. Like they make it look cool.
Yeah, exactly. I've been listening to them since like 2017 or 2018.
Wow.
Because like I discovered them when I was in school.
Mm.
I've seen them a few times and it's just like so nice to see them become so, so popular now.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And then like, are you someone who, like me, now my Irish is fairly bad, but when it comes to going on my holidays or maybe spending a summer in a J1, my Irish comes through. Words like Gneisach and, you know, all the words, the things you don't want to say in English. Do you find you do that as well?
Oh my God, all the time, literally all the time. It's always been like, you know, like you might be out and about in public and want to say something. And I'm like, oh, Tom Buchel, Harrington, Akwashikoklocha. And like, he's so hot over there. Like, you don't want to say it in public or like say it out loud just in case they might understand or hear you. So I use it all the time. And I'd put up a little story on my TikTok a few weeks ago about how like I was in an airport and these two girls were like giving me very, very dirty looks. And like me and my friends were able to talk about them. About the situation, even though they were right beside us in Irish.
That's
so they didn't
like.
Have a clue.
Yeah, that's what we like to see.
Yeah, love it.
Do you have a favourite word or favourite term?
Mm-hmm. I always say, my one's always Omadhon. I just think it hits really good.
Yeah. My one is definitely Gnaisoc, and I don't know why. I just always like, oh, Gnaisoc. Yeah, Omadhon is a great one. And it really, even if you didn't speak Irish, I think you'd know what an Omadhon is, wouldn't you?
100%. It has that little flavour to it. It's nice.
And just back to what you were saying about people abroad. Do you really mean it when you say like most of your friends have moved to Australia or the UK? Like if you went home to Carlo, yeah. for the most part, they're gone.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm very lucky. My two best friends are still here. My best friends. But a lot of my other friends that went to other schools, they've all gone to Canada, UK, Australia. There really is like everyone's leaving.
Wow. That must be tough. Like when you're trying to like even moving to Dublin. I know when I went to Dublin, I went with a group of my friends. So it must be a hard one if you decide to stay here.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I'm very lucky, like, I moved up and because of my job, like, anyone that kind of does that job is up here and I've made so many friends through doing, like, influencing and going to events and even my roommate, I met her through this and that's how I was able to get my apartment and stuff up here. But I think it is really hard for anyone else with any other type of job. It's really hard to stick it out here just because of how expensive it is and the lack of opportunities in those jobs and stuff like that.
And do you have a little bit of an inkling for itchy feet yourself? Would you like to go and experience Australia for a year?
You know what? I've actually never, ever had the desire. I'd really, really like to visit. And I think because I know so many people over there now, I'm like more inclined to go on a holiday there. But I've never had the desire to, you know, spend a year or move there. Like the closest I think I'd, or the furthest I think I'd go would probably be London and even maybe that for a year or so and see what it's like. And it's still close enough. I can get a 40-minute flight back home to my mother whenever I need it.
I'm sure she's only an hour away from Dublin as well.
Exactly.
And all going well in Dublin too. You're enjoying it.
Oh, 100%. It's just like a really nice, diverse community up here. And yeah, I have so many friends up here and I'm so lucky with the community that I have through my work up here. And yeah, I love it. There's so much to do all the time.
Yeah, there really is. There really is. But I'm sure like we were talking to you a few weeks ago for the Gossies as well. And you were talking about like chippers that you miss in Carlo. Yeah. And there's always something that you miss when you're not living in your home, isn't there?
Yeah, there's always just that little something that like it makes your hometown a little special.
Exactly. Well, listen, congratulations for really, you know, talking upfront about the Irish language and what it means to you. It's just so brilliant to see it becoming so popular. And like you do hear about pupils who go looking for exemptions when it comes to the Leaving Cert in Irish.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something we need to think about as well, how the Irish language is taught in the future.
You 100%.
You were lucky, of course, being fluent, but I'm sure you've like other people who find it so hard to learn the language.
Oh, 100%. I think that, again, that was something I had mentioned when I was on Upfront. It's like disappointing not being able to like hold a conversation with my friends that like didn't attend a Gaelscoil or a Gaelscoileachta.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all down to the way it's taught. It's taught to be examined. It's not taught to be spoken, unfortunately. And that's, I think, it is a really hard language to learn. Like no one is denying that. It's quite confusing. There's so many, like your fear, your ban and like everything. It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't grow up speaking it, it's more than likely you won't be able to hold any type of conversation by the end.
And it's a confidence thing as well, isn't it?
Exactly. I think there's a lot of pressure on it because it's an exam.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks a million for talking to us on the Sunday Grill this morning. I know you'll be missing the parade in Carlo tomorrow, but enjoy whatever you're doing for St. Patrick's Day. And thanks for talking to us about your love of the Irish language on the weekend that's in it. Of course, follow, if you're not one of the 1.7 million people who follow Lauren on TikTok, just check her out, Lauren Whelan on TikTok. Lauren, thanks a million for talking to me this morning.
Thank you so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
The smallest parade in Ireland is taking place in County Wexford tomorrow. Of course, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's the brainchild of Mick Fortune and Aileen Lambert, and they hold an annual parade with no set plans in Currahgraig in County Wexford. It's been happening for the last 8 years. Am I right in saying that, Mick?
You are, yeah. And every year we try to stop it, but the neighbours just want to keep on going.
That is Mick Fortune. And you'll also know Mick from the website folklore.ie. He's also on Facebook. He has an absolute massive following. People are so interested in how things start, really, isn't it, Mick? And we'll talk a little bit about St. Patrick and links to the southeast in a few minutes' time. But let's talk about this tiny parade and tell people where Currahgraig is in County Wexford.
Yeah, as Father Ted once said to the TV producer, you won't find us on any maps.
It's a town. It's a parish. Is it a townsland?
Yeah,
how
it's a little
town.
Yeah, it's a townsland just overlooking the mountains, overlooking the far side would be Kilkenny and Carlow.
Okay.
So it's northwest Wexford. So it's basically, there's an area called a common. So there's no village as such, and a lot of rural areas would be similar. You'd have maybe a little small commonage or a crossroads.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I suppose 8 years ago, we have young children and they're getting older and our neighbours were the same, and we were always kind of like, you know yourself, packing into the car to go to town to look at stuff, whether it be you know, parades or traffic or whatever it is. And we said, God, wouldn't we just do our own little one here for the crack? And we did it just for the crack and put up little signs and all that. The neighbours turned up and we brought flasks of hay. And then next year said, oh, we do it again next year, and then next year and next year. And this year, honest to God, I went to the council at Auntie Lowe 2 days ago and I said, listen, I want to go off and do something else. I actually want to go to town or go somewhere else. And there, I could just sense the silence. And it said, no, we can't, we have to keep going, Mick. So we're going, and it's a lovely thing to do. You know, I was just gathering the neighbours, getting together, you know. And the thing is, well, neighbours, we don't get a chance sometimes, especially we're always on the road buzzing around and meeting each other, waving at each other in a car. So there are great chances, you know, to get together. And it takes the box for a lot of parents with young children. The little ones get a chance to dress up, you know, and then chat and meet up, you know. And there's nothing more you want, really, you know, at this stage in our lives, you know.
So can I, will you tick off the things that I would expect from a traditional Irish parade? Tell me whether you have them or not, okay?
Oh, God, no.
You can go through the 8 years and have a think, so. Do you have a St. Patrick?
We do. Every year we move it around. We find a local person, someone from the townsland. And personally, some people that wouldn't, like an older man or a woman that never ever think I'd ever be in a St. Patrick's Day parade in my life, you know. Who am I to be in the St. Patrick's Day parade? I'm not the Lord Mayor of the village or anything like that.
Okay.
So yeah, that's, we have that.
And when saying that, do you have someone that every year kind of becomes the star of the show? I know in the Gory Parade, for example, they always have a Grand Marshal, and most parades are like that. Do you get yourself a Grand Marshal every year?
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes we'd a sheep one year. We'd a rooster or a cock. We'd a calf last year.
Oh,
someone
nice.
Outside, one of the neighbours said, can I bring a calf? And I said, okay, go on, bring the calf. So you wouldn't know what. And there'll always be a few dogs, Orla. Always
a
few stray dogs.
And a vintage tractor. I always expected a vintage tractor.
Yeah, we'll bring one vintage tractor because because it's so small, like we don't want to just be watching traffic and smelling diesel fumes, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
So we have a team called Push, Pull or Carry. So basically, if you're coming along, bring your little buggy or bring a little trailer or a wheelbarrow or whatever you have and throw the chaps in that, and we'll go for a lap around the commons.
Lovely. And you say you really don't have anyone like looking at the parade. It's all about taking part.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, there'd be no one there if everyone turned up. You would see the odd stranger turning up, honestly, every year, wondering what in the name of Jesus is going on here. So we said, no, we kind of hoosh them in and said, right, get behind there now and walk around. So there's no hawkers or gawkers or spectators,
okay.
just participants. But funny, I just came back from the northern Spain in the Basque Country,
uh-huh.
And they do a big carnival thing, and it's actually really, it's in some ways they kind of do an anti-parade. Which in some ways I'm kind of looking at the way they do it. So it's kind of like everyone is the parade. You know, you turn up, you dress up, and you have your little gatherings and your little.
And people are welcome. Like there's a shuttle bus to it if you want to go, but you just need to be able to take part.
Oh, there's shuttle bus arriving. Well, if you need to be able to find a shuttle bus now. But come here, there's parking on the Commons. If you type in Cora Greig into Google, you'll find it. Now it's in the middle of nowhere. It's a completely rural townsland.
Okay.
But you'll come along and just enjoy the community side of it. As I said, it'll be our neighbours are dying to make tea and coffee for people. So okay. There'll be teas and coffees there, and there'll be buns and cakes. And bring your little lads and little ones and families and just come and just enjoy it.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. So as you said, if you type in Cora Greig into like a website or Google Maps, you will find it there. It's kind of Rathnure and Killan and Kilteely, that's kind of the area that we're talking about. Is that right?
Yeah, Ballindagan. So it's okay. Between Inniscarty and, say, Kilteely,
okay.
That direction.
And there is a shuttle bus that goes around those places. So if you do want to get a free lift, it might be available tomorrow.
You're dead right. There's actually a new, which is brilliant for this part of Wexford. There's loads of rural shuttle buses now going, connecting all the villages. Mm. And they've got a really good timetable, which is brilliant to see, you know, small communities all connected. And here's the other thing. If you do come to Cora Greig, Kilteely, our nearest neighbour, they have a lovely parade. They go proper. They have one at 1 o'clock. And on our rural communities, right under the mountain, guards location.
You could almost go on a tour, because this one, the smallest parade in Ireland, starts at 11 a.m. So that's a nice early one as well. And there will be refreshments, as you said, at the end at the Commons in Cora Greig. Now, Mick, apart from the smallest parade in Ireland, you are quite the man to tell us about St. Patrick and his links to, especially here, the southeast in Ireland. And you and I are both from County Wexford, in the same part of North County Wexford, and that has a good few links to St. Patrick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, one of the stories that it's in the Four Masters is well recorded, and folklore is a funny one because it kind of once a community gets a story landed on them, it can haunt them. And there's a community called Castletown, not far from where you grew up, on the east coast of Wexford, northeast coast of Wexford. And the story goes that when Patrick and Loman and a pilot of his followers decided to come back to Ireland to Christianize the Irish, they landed near between Castletown and Arklow. And there's a fella called Éanaí Kinsella. Éanaí Kinsella would be his name now. And apparently the locals didn't like him and didn't like his preachy ways, and they pegged stones at him. And apparently he sailed up the County Meath and made a settlement there. But the locals still around Castletown are still scalded by the Ushuru stones of Patrick. So what would you know? And it's one of those things that just cuts them still, you know.
Okay.
They can last on for whatever, 1500 years.
Yeah.
There's also a great one from Kilkenny. There's a few from Kilkenny actually.
Yeah.
There's one from Sleeve Rue off the top of my head that St. Patrick, there was it crops up an awful lot in the school's folklore collection, and also with older people as well will talk about it. Now, it's in a few places in Kilkenny, but the Sleeve Rue version was the version I heard. Was apparently St. Patrick was going around with a greyhound, as you would, and he was going around with a greyhound, and the locals of Sleeve Rue decided that they would they'd cook him a meal, which were unannounced to poor old Patrick, and they killed the greyhound and served him up the meal. And Sir Patrick, knowing that they were absolutely being after doing what they did, he cursed them, and next minute he put some kind of spell. This is a story now, or bear with me, right?
Okay.
And the greyhound leapt up off the table after being cooked.
Oh, God.
And ran and it banged its head off a rock. I think there's somewhere near the Rue Glen, somewhere direction around there. And apparently the mark of the greyhound's head is in the rock.
Okay.
That was a piece of folklore from 1937 that was recorded. And I remember a couple of years ago, I put it up on the folklore page, and here didn't a woman from that part of Kilkenny goes, yes, that story is true, and I can show you the spot where the greyhound banged his head off the rock. So there's a Kilkenny story for
wow.
you. Yeah,
I'm still a little bit taken aback by the fact that St. Patrick had a greyhound.
Oh, he had a goat as well. I remember recording
Mayo
years ago.
I'm okay with the goat. The goat will be okay. A greyhound.
Yeah, a greyhound. The one in Mayo, and I think it's you find it around the country, was he was going around with a goat. And again, the same crack. The locals didn't like Patrick, refused him water, and they killed his goat. And apparently there was a woman in Kilmaine telling me in Mayo said there was never a butcher shop in Kilmaine because St. Patrick put a curse on the spot because of that, some 1600 years ago.
Is there anything that like we do on St. Patrick's Day that is from centuries ago that we're still doing?
Yeah, well, the community, the wearing of the shamrock is definitely one of the things. That's one thing that crops up an awful lot. This idea of going out and finding a piece of shamrock, which is I like it.
Mm.
Sometimes making a little bunch of shamrock into a little circle was one.
Yeah.
And there was also a little St. Patrick's cross, which you got in the southeast in Wexford in particular. A little piece of a sally made into a circle with a little cross on it. That was put over the door in St. Patrick's Day. Something similar to St. Bridget's cross. The wearing of the badge was always a big one. Again, probably late 1800s, this idea of wearing the badge. Drowning of the shamrock, which you'll hear people talk about, but that was always a thing that was done as well. You know, it was said it was at the end of the night, the shamrock would have been put into a glass, into the last, maybe your last glass of whiskey, whatever it would be, and you would have a you'd have a drink of that to drown the shamrock.
And what's that, for good luck?
For good luck for the new year. You'll find that story cropping up an awful lot. You know, it can be marked today whichever way you want to, you know.
Exactly. You can mark the day if you want to, Mick, by going to the smallest parade in Ireland, held by yourself and your wife, Aileen, as if you didn't have enough to be doing, Mick. If you head over there at 11 a.m, and as Mick said, if you put in Currahgraig into Google Maps, and that is Currahgeague. Wow, it doesn't make it simple for Google Maps, does it? But it is in kind of the Kiltealy, Ballandagan kind of area of County Wexford. 11 a.m. is the kickoff. There's refreshments afterwards, and 11 a.m. means that you can head to other parades during the day as well. That is Michael Fortune. He is the man behind folklore.ie and the absolutely huge Facebook page.
Yeah, if you just type in folklore.ie
Facebook, brilliant, I'll do that.
You get that, and I'll be throwing up little bits of St. Patrick's Day folklore and stuff like that as well, for if any of your listeners want to have a look in and learn a bit more about that.
Brilliant stuff. We'll have a great St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. And is it your 9th parade then that you're having?
It's our eighth parade. We'd have never thought I never thought it would have got past number one. I'll be honest with you. So.
Well, I'll be looking forward to number 10 and number 9 as well. You'll have to keep going till you reach the decade, Mick. Thanks a million for talking to me this morning, and happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
Same to you. Thanks a million.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Five counties, one station. It is Beat 102-103. And let's head to Tullow and County Carlow now, because the Dubai chocolate craze has swept through Ireland recently. It really only took about a year. I remember it was a year ago, suddenly seeing these TikTokers and Instagrammers starting to video about this chocolate with green stuff in the middle. And I was thinking, what is this? Well, now we know. It is the brainchild of a Dubai-based entrepreneur, hence the name. And it's a pistachio-infused bar. It's so popular, thousands of people filming their reactions to the bar and that infamous snap. Well, the Chocolate Garden of Ireland in Tullow in County Carlow have come up with their own version of the Dubai chocolate bar. And Jim Healy from the Chocolate Garden of Ireland, in fact, he's the owner, along with his wife Mary, joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Orla. Good to talk to you.
Little did we think that we would be talking about the Dubai chocolate bar, did we? When did you start hearing about this?
Actually, last year, yeah. I was talking to some chocolatiers, and we were chatting it, and one of them were making it, and they said, "Oh, Jim, I think it's going to be a fad, like, you know."
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it just kept rolling forward, and in the last couple of months in Ireland, it's really taken off. So
yeah,
when you talk to
really
groups,
to...
when I talk to groups here, they all seem to know about it.
Yeah, exactly. I can remember watching an influencer who was in Dubai for the weekend, and she'd ordered it, and one of those little robot delivery robots came to her hotel room and dropped it at her door. And I couldn't even work out what the green stuff was, because it's got a funny rice-looking consistency, or straw-like, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the katafi ingredient, like, okay. But it's what it's actually you're getting. That's mixed with pistachio as well.
Okay, and what's katafi?
Katafi, it's a pastry. It's a crunchy pastry, like almost like phyllo pastry.
Okay,
it's toasted and then mixed with the pistachio, okay, and tahini, which
lovely,
is kind of sesame based product as well.
And it's called the Dubai chocolate bar because it was the brainchild of a Dubai based entrepreneur. Is that right?
That's correct. Like, yeah, Sarah Hamadi, she's a British Egyptian entrepreneur, and she's involved with Dubai chocolate. So she set up her bar in the end of 2023, and it kicked off there, and I think that brand was called Can't Get Enough of It, like, but it when it went onto social media, it really took off, and people started looking and saying, "Oh, what's this? I'd love to try it." Like,
and when did you start experimenting with it then?
We started experimenting about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And that's when we tried various versions of it, and that, like, to try to get the best taste, and because we're gluten-free, mm-hmm, which is a big thing, we have come up with our own version that is gluten-free.
So you're always
We're always gluten free. Like, so I wasn't prepared to let anything that would compromise that into production. Like, okay.
Is there a reason why you're always gluten free? Is that a personal reason?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, it is a section of the market that we've always been involved in. We have a daughter who's gluten intolerant, okay. So we try to ensure that, you know, whatever we make and that we keep our premises gluten free, because once you stop, it takes a long time to get it right again. Like, you know, so we don't let gluten into the production area.
So you sent me quite the box of chocolates from the Chocolate Garden of Ireland, which is always a lovely surprise to get. And in it was your Dubai chocolate bar. There was also some lovely chocolate covered hazelnuts, which were devoured here. But I have one of the Dubai chocolate bars here. And I have, they're so heavy, aren't they?
They are. They're very, it's very dense. Like, it's quite a heavy filling.
I'm going to break it now. I'm going to see if I can do this snap that people talk about. Let's see. Oh, no. Yeah. Do you know what's happened? I've had it out of the fridge and I think it needs to be in the fridge, doesn't it?
Well, it depends on your taste. Like, some people like it in the fridge. Some people like to keep it at ambient temperature. Like, so, but there should be a good snap off it anyway.
That is a good one. That is, like, I love fruit and nut and stuff like that. And that is that nutty flavour that really works with chocolate.
Yeah, the pistachio flavour is quite strong and quite good. Like, so it's a really luscious taste, delicious.
It's gorgeous. I'm going to hold some of that now for Brian, who does my movie reviews. I'm going to hold on the rest of that for him to have a taste of it as well. Because when we say it's a craze, like, there has been talk of shops only being able to sell a certain amount of them and queues out of doors. It really has gone massive, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I was talking to a lady who called in the other day, and it was a shop in her local area, and they said, like, when they got it in, it was gone within 10-15 minutes. It was all gone.
Wow.
And you know, we have it here now, like, for people to try bought in our shop here in the Chocolate Garden Tullow, and also in our shop in Kilkenny on High Street in Kilkenny.
Is it gluten free? Does that mean you can't use that kind of main ingredient, that kanafi that you were talking about?
We don't use kanafi. What we're actually using there is honeycomb. We're using honeycomb to give you that nice crunch and taste, without, as I say, going for a gluten product within the mix.
Good stuff. And the honeycomb puts a little bit of sweetness in it because it's quite dense and almost salty and heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like the honeycomb still gives you the crunch flavour. Mm-hmm. So that's really good, and as I say, some sesame seed as well. Like,
people in here have told me they've seen it in shops for up to 15 and 16 euro. Why is it so expensive?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's and part of the reason for that, because it's gone so viral, it is being the cost of the ingredients. Like, so the cost of pistachio in the last week, I got an updated price. For, like, we use 100% pistachio, not one that's watered down with sugar or whatever. We use 100% pistachio, and the price of that has gone up about 25% in the last week.
Okay, wow, that's,
and that's
a lot.
That's partly because the demand and scarcity in the market. When you push a demand for a product, like, pistachio is always a lovely flavour in ice cream or whatever. We've used it here for quite a long time, and but it has pushed the price. The price of pistachio is always high. Anyway, so 16 euros for some of the bars.
Yeah,
that's quite high. Like, we sell here our product handmade here in the Chocolate Garden for 9.50.
Okay. So it's still a premium product.
Pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Still a premium product. Like,
Do you see trends like this in the chocolate industry and kind of raise your hands in glee, or you think, oh no, I have to do this now? Like,
you're always trying to look at the market and see what's going on or what the trends are. And that, like, for the last few years, we have, since we started in chocolate, we've been producing salted caramel. And
we won
Best Irish Chocolate with it back in 2012, which was, 13 years ago. And that's still a huge selling product here. We won it for Best Irish Chocolate in 2012. And 2 years later, we came back and won another award for the milk salt caramel.
Okay. And are there products that you kind of leave to one side for a while? Like, you know, are there things that you've kind of pushed to not use anymore? Like, or once you make a product and it's a flavor, do you just keep making it?
basically what you find is you might decide sometimes, oh, we'll stop doing something. And as sure as you do, you'll, you know, someone is going to come after you and say, look, I really love that product.
Where
you've got to keep making it,
yeah,
you know.
That's what happens.
So, that's exactly what happens. Like,
well, listen, have you heard of her favourite one, the lady who invented the Dubai chocolate bar from her company Fix? She has a favourite flavour combination, the Pick Up a Pretzel. She says the balance is salty and sweet. And I think that sounds amazing. I think you should do that one now, Jim.
Right, so that's the next one on the agenda.
Yeah,
I'll just
that's
say
her favourite.
We're making pretzel chocolate mix like that, yeah.
You can call it the Orla Rapple. Call it the Orla Rapple.
I'm sure that Orla, you will come and become a taster for us.
I will. You can even just call it the Orla. It doesn't need the Rapple surname as well.
Oh, okay. We'll put your name on it.
I would love that. I would love that.
The Orla pretzel.
So it's sweet and salty, because that's a little bit like what the Dubai chocolate bar is, isn't it? It's a little bit of salty and sweet, and we seem to love that
and
combination.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And just to add to the what's actually happening at the Dubai Chocolate Bar, we also are in our shop in High Street in Kilkenny, we actually use a pistachio based mix to go on top of strawberries and chocolate.
Oh.
So that'll add more lusciousness to it.
Wow, Jim, you like to keep yourself busy, don't you? Because you wouldn't really think that Easter is only about 4 or 5 weeks away, and you're going to be pretty busy then
We're in a full steam here ahead for
you
Easter.
Really
Easter is one of the most intensive, busiest seasons of the year.
I can imagine. Sure, why not just try and make the Dubai chocolate bar 6 weeks ago then as well?
Absolutely. We'll have to probably look at making a Dubai chocolate Easter egg.
You could fill that full of that filling. That would be lovely and very expensive, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Maybe we'll make a small one with pistachio.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Like a cream egg almost.
That's for sure.
Well, listen,
absolutely.
You're calling it the Irish Dubai Bar. It's from the Chocolate Garden of Ireland. You're based, of course, in Tullow in County Carlow. And if you want to check out the website, it is chocolategarden.ie. Jim, will we talk to you again in a few weeks before we get to Easter? Maybe you could give us some suggestions of stuff that we could do a bit differently with chocolate over the Easter time as well.
Absolutely, you'll have to come up and make one yourself.
Oh, I did it a few years ago, Jim. It was absolutely brilliant. I made a chocolate Easter egg that was so filled with chocolate on one side and very, very narrow on the other side. It wasn't my forte, but I really enjoyed myself.
Well, that's why people come here to do mold making all the time.
It's a great idea.
All over Easter, so it's a good way for people to try their hands on at chocolate.
Listen, I'll talk to you before Easter then, and we'll chat about that. But in the meantime, I'll be looking forward to how the pretzel Orla chocolate bar is coming along. But in the meantime, people can also check out your Irish Dubai chocolate bar, which is in the Chocolate Garden of Ireland. Their premises in Tullow in County Carlow, but also that shop which is in Kilkenny City as well. Jim, thank you so much. Say hello to Mary to us as well, and thanks for talking to us this morning.
I will, Orla. Thanks so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Five counties, one station. It is Beat 102-103. Okay, let's head to County Tipperary, because they have some early enough plans for the parade this week with their three county Hinterland Festival, a parade and a festival today, a day early for the parade, and it's celebrating connections between Tipperary, Waterford and Kilkenny. Sarah Jane Cleary is the commercial and tourism manager for Carrick-on-Shore, where everything is happening, and she joins me this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Sarah Jane.
Thank you for having me on, Orla. Thank you.
And I'm sure you're very busy today.
Yes, it's good busy though. There's great energy and everybody is looking forward to the special day we have planned. So as you said, it is there's two elements to this festival.
Okay.
There is a parade and there is a festival afterwards.
Okay. A day early. Why did you have a reason why you chose it a day early?
Well, we wanted to give people the option, because it is the three counties, to mooch on to whatever county they wanted to afterwards.
Okay, great.
So we would see Carrick-on-Shore as in the heart of it all. So we're in the heart of those three counties.
And you're really busy these days, Carrick-on-Shore, aren't you? I see lots of festivals.
It's the place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Lovely to see towns up and coming, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We got some, RDF funding 2 years ago, and it's really invigorated the town. And I suppose there's a real focus on tourism and community, and that's what Explore Caricature has been doing the last year.
Brilliant stuff.
And there's such a great response to it. But back to St. Patrick's Day, the theme is unity, community, collaboration, and it's those three counties, those hinterland towns working together to bring this really positive parade to life today. And we're so honoured that we have Special Olympics Ireland, the Munster organisations and athletes and clubs from around the area as our Grand Marshals, along with Joseph O'Brien, Carrigan O'Grace Racing, who is doing extremely well over in Cheltenham now at the moment. So we're really, really honoured. And these are people right in our doorstep. And, you know, these are two organisations that represent excellence and dedication in Irish sports. So we're really, really lucky to have them join us as our Grand Marshals.
That's the parade. It kicks off at 1 o'clock in Carrigan Shore.
At 1 o'clock.
And
then
you can head the Beat Fleet and the Beast will be at New Street Car Park from 12:30. So once the parade is over, you can head to New Street Car Park, and you have so much going on there. When we say festivals, we mean strong men and everything. In fact, tell me about strong men, Sarah Jane.
I know. This is so great. Well, the AJ Cronin Strength and Fitness has put together and is hosting a Carrigan Shore Strongman competition. So there is over 27 strong men competing in this inaugural competition. And it's just a show of extreme strength. And they will be attempting to break some national records. And there is lots of different events within this. So it's going to be really fun. You remember it from years ago watching it on TV.
Yeah.
You'd be hooked.
And
you
it's actually a real sight for sore eyes because they have to lift odd things. And
Yeah. So I can't wait for that now, to be honest. And then we have the Lara Corbett GAA Challenge Walls. So all of the GAA teams within the area will be taking pucks against each other, I suppose.
Okay, great.
And that's all for a charity. And we're inviting, you know, kids and adults to take a puck.
Okay.
On that, it's always good fun.
Good idea.
And then we have a community engagement area where we have Carrigan Shore critical first responders, and they are only up and running in a short time, less than a year. And they have done nearly 150 call-outs.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
We're raising money for them with an aqua drop challenge. So they are working alongside the fire station. So we're inviting all of the kids to go in and learn about fire safety, and you can see what the critical first responders do. And it's just going to be a great day. There's
and what's an aqua drop challenge?
So somebody sits in a chair and then you throw something at the balloon, and then when you get the bullseye, the water comes falls out.
And that could be anyone who sits on it. Sits on the chair.
Anyone, yes. We're hoping to get some counsellors who will join in the fun.
Oh, brilliant. I'd say that'll get very popular as the day goes on.
Yeah. I'd say so.
And then the usual food stalls and music.
Food stalls, kiddies amusements. And we do have a sensory-friendly area. Sensory Solutions will be there. So if anybody needs time out, if they're sensitive to noise or anything like that, they can just go over there and enjoy it.
Brilliant. Great stuff
from inside. Yeah,
good stuff. Well, so if you fancy celebrating St. Patrick's Day a day early by kicking off your parades or even going on a tour of a parade, today can be your first day in Carrick on Shore. What time does the parade kick off at, Sarah Jane? I know it finishes at 1.
The parade kicks off at 1 o'clock.
Oh, 1 o'clock, okay.
1 o'clock. And New Street Car Park, that area with the Beat Fleet is there. We're open from 12:30.
Okay, good stuff.
And yes, we're celebrating community, so we would invite everybody to come along.
Fab. And if you want to get more details, you can head over to the Explore Carrick on Shore Instagram page and can see what they've done in the past as well. If you remember tractors and Tudors.
And Tudors.
We
talked to Stuart
about that and his lit up tractors. In fact, I think I've spoken to him almost every 2 years. He's been doing it for so long. But that is such a spectacle. So it's lovely to see so much happening in Carrick on Shore. Sarah Jane, enjoy the day. Thanks a million for talking to me on such a busy day. That was Sarah Jane Cleary. She's the Commercial and Tourism Manager for Carrick on Shore, and that is their parade. Their theme is Unity, Community and Collaboration, kicking off today in Carrick on Shore at 1 p.m. and then the festival afterwards in New Street Car Park for the afternoon. Sarah Jane, thanks a million.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yay. The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday morning on this St. Patrick's Bank Holiday weekend. You're listening to the Sunday Grill. That is Brian over there singing
Sunday morning.
A little song.
Sunday morning.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely. I had Mary from the Chocolate Garden of Ireland on earlier, talking about this Dubai chocolate craze. And we were only saying it seems to have taken about a year to get here in Ireland.
Mm.
Anyway, she sent me some. And would you like to try it?
Yeah, well, you had said to me before we came in, let's try it when we're on air. And I said, perfect. And then two seconds later, she's like, we just have it now. I was like, you literally just said to me what we do. And I was like, okay. Like, I never even was like, oh, actually, no, we'll have it now.
This sums up me and Brian.
Yeah.
He's the restrained one. I'm like, give it to me.
Which
now
is crazy because in other setting, I'm not.
Here, try it there. Oh, there you go. It's got a nice little I've seen them before and they're not as...
It has an interesting filling, let's say.
Yes, the filling is quite gooey, but that could be because I've been carrying it around asking Brian to eat it for the last 20 minutes.
I would say
so.
It has the colouring of, I don't know...
It's amazing. That is good now. I love pistachio. I'm a little bit worried about the coating of my mouth for the rest of
the... Yeah, I can feel it on the roof of my mouth.
That is good.
It's all right.
I really like that. The thing about that, though, is that the chocolate... a good high-end chocolate.
I think the chocolate's nicer than the filling.
Oh, that's Chocolate Garden of Ireland chocolate. Yum. I really like the filling. There's a bit of it here. I love pistachio, though. Do you?
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously, if you're giving up anything for Lent, you know the score.
Lent,
that tomorrow is the day, because it is our patron saint's day, that you can have whatever you gave up. That was the rule when I was little. If you gave up sweets, you were allowed to eat them on St. Patrick's Day.
I think it's only if it's jelly snakes.
Touché. So I've given up social media. So tomorrow I'm going full on doom scrolling.
Every week I get a text, what did you see? Because I have no idea what you're up to. That's my Orla accent.
Thank you, Brian. That went full Wexford. It's actually terrible how little I know about things that I shouldn't really know about anyway.
Mm.
But it's really made me a much happier person not doom scrolling on Instagram and not judging people like you, Brian, who I like in real life. But on Instagram, I think, well, what do I think?
You're jealous of me. You wish you were me.
That's your general theme on your Instagram. Don't be jelly.
No, my theme is, I know, my life is class. Your life isn't as good.
Instagram versus reality.
Instagram versus
That's
reality.
All I
and the
can
reality
say.
Is cooler than their Instagram.
No, there you go. That's why he's blocked. Anyway, do you... Also, I don't have Facebook anymore. Like, I don't have the app. But because I'd given up Instagram and TikTok, I found myself going onto Safari and constantly typing in Facebook.com. So I had to go and restrict that from my Safari too.
Sounds like an addict. Now, I say that.
But tomorrow is my day.
I say that, but also at the same time, my phone is in my hand before my eyes open. Like my body wakes, I grab my phone, then my eyes open. Yeah,
that's very bad for you, Brian.
It's not great.
Not great for the dopamine. Now, do you remember pre-COVID, the Academy winner Parasite? In fact, Parasite is the last movie I went to see days before the lockdown. I always remember that. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. The Academy Award winning director of Parasite has a new movie.
What's
it's taken
name?
The 5 years. Ah, Brian.
It's pronounced the way it's spelled.
Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah.
Excellent. So Bong has a new movie. It's called Mickey 17.
Bong.
Mickey. Mickey is Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson is the most... not underrated actor, because he's a brilliant actor, but he does not embrace fame, and I am really proud of him for that fact. He just goes, makes movies. I don't even see him on the PR trail that much, and then he goes off and makes something else. But this is really quirky. I love the idea.
My favourite thing about that element of him is there was a time where this girl was like obsessive, and she was outside his hotel for weeks, and she was like, oh my god, please go on a date with me, and he did. He spent the whole time just talking about how bad his life is.
Oh.
And she never bothered him. Oh,
that's the ultimate it.
Yeah.
A famous star talking about how bad their life is.
No, no, I don't think. I think it's more a case of like he can't go outside, he can't go anywhere, he can't say this, he can't say that, he can't eat here, he can't go there. He used to go to this takeaway.
I know, but see the positive in things, Robert. Life's not that bad.
Yeah, some money is the positive, and that's not really worth much at the end of the day, like, you know.
Anyway, there's loads of familiar faces in this movie, Mickey 17, and they're not even named in the lineup. Like people I recognise from BBC series and stuff like that. So like let's
Tim
have a listen.
Key? Tim Key was the one that stood out for me.
Who's Tim Key?
Tim Key is a comedian.
Oh, okay.
He's in it. He just randomly shows up, and what a random person to be in this massive movie.
I love those little Easter eggs. Okay, let's have a listen and then you'll tell me what you thought. Yeah,
no.
That's how it works.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Let's do it.
On Earth, nothing was working out and I wanted to get the hell out of there.
You're planning to be an expendable?
You read through the paperwork?
Yeah. I should have read through it.
That's it. Mickey, deep breaths. Fill your lungs. Imagine there's an unknown virus in the air.
And you're sucking in every single microscopic particle floating around.
All the viruses.
So good.
There really was an unknown virus in the air. A lethal one.
See you tomorrow.
Fellow pioneers, almost every single one of you will be remembered throughout history.
They made me work my ass off, giving me one shitty mission after another.
You're an expendable. You're here to be expended.
There you go. That is Mickey 17. Tony Collette in there as well. Mark Ruffalo. But the main guy is Robert Pattinson. I love the look of this, Brian.
Yes.
I love Robert Pattinson's character in it. He's so quirky and...
Do you know what? I think in another year, Robert Pattinson could have been nominated for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor in this.
Okay. He's got nothing though. No nominations.
No, well, they probably won't push it till next year. But, okay. I think that he's an insane performer. Like,
yeah.
He's on screen, it's the same looking guy. But you're okay. I can clearly tell the difference between these two people. As like, it's both him, like playing different versions of himself.
Okay.
Like, so it's the same morals and stuff, but it's slightly different personalities. It's insane. Like, even just the accents and stuff, like, sounds nothing like him. Like,
sorry,
you know?
Explain that again. So
the concept of the whole movie is,
okay,
because he himself and Stephen Ewan are great friends.
Mm.
They get into money trouble and then they have to go on this thing to another planet. I think it's just random planet.
And he hasn't read the terms and conditions. So
he hasn't read
really
the terms and conditions and signed up as an expendable.
Okay.
Now, I'm not talking the Sylvester Stallone movies.
Okay.
But
if I saw a job as an expendable, I'd kind of be thinking this isn't going to turn out right for me.
Yeah. So basically what it is, they can clone people. And it was such a controversial thing on Earth that you can only do it in outer space.
Okay.
So because they're on the ship, they can do it and they're using it to test out things. So when they're... Essentially, they're going through on this ship and they like put him outside to see how his body reacts to the sun. He dies and then they just print a new one.
Okay.
So it's like Mickey 17
He's a different type of character every time.
He's the same. No, he's the same dude, but he has the same like the memories and stuff from the last time.
Oh, okay.
So
he's not really dying.
He's not really dying. And that's the whole thing. The majority of the movies, people are asking, what's it like to die? Like, because... He remembers that he died, like,
yeah,
you know.
Wow.
So it's a very interesting take, and it's basically when they get to they land on this planet. Basically, the ship is captained by Mark Ruffalo. He's like this failed congressman. I'm gonna say very Trumpish.
Okay.
And he is this kind of like maniacal kind of figure, which like because I feel like when it comes to Bong Joon-ho, you've only seen Parasite.
Yes.
Have you seen Snowpiercer?
No.
Have you seen...
I don't think you're going to say yes to any of these things.
Okja?
No.
You see, he's a very, like, a very interesting way of telling a story.
Okay.
There's always, like, a bad guy and, like, it's always, like, a case of good versus evil in a very grim environment and in a very interesting way. And I feel like with Parasite, because it was just so much about people and environments, I feel like it really resonated to the wider audience.
Okay.
And... This kind of goes more back to his roots, but like it's like Snowpiercer was a massive movie, it's 2013, and like Chris Evans was in it, so it's not exactly this small cast, like Tilda Swinton, Ed Harris,
okay,
John Hurt was in there, Octavia Spencer, like it was a great cast, but it was all about living on a train. And basically when people were dying, their body was being made into food for people to eat again.
Right.
Which is the same on this ship, because people are dying. All the leftover food is made back into like the bodies of the new Mickeys, do you know? Basically, Mickey 17 is, they've landed on this planet. They've used him as a test for all the like infections on the planet. And now he's presumed dead and he survives.
Okay.
And then what happens is, by the time he gets back, there's already after printing a new one.
Ah.
And the law is that when there's multiples, they're all killed.
Okay.
Because they're all gotten rid of.
Okay.
And then it just ends up being this like crazy thing on this planet with these weird creatures.
I love this, because even as the base of the premise that he's cloned, I would watch it.
Yeah.
But that extra Looper, it's almost like a nod to Looper.
But
that works for me too.
It's a story that I've never heard. Like it's such an interesting way of looking at different things.
Yeah.
And I feel like people didn't get it. Like when I went into the screening of it, there was like a lot of people in there, and they came out and they're like, "What did any of that mean?" I was like, "I think it's kind of like anyone can be replaced, you know." So it's like he kept repeatedly dying, but then when on Mickey 17 was like, "I don't want to anymore." Yeah. Do you mean I want to stay alive?
The clips that I watched, Mark Ruffalo character says, "You will be remembered forever," and really, that's an untruth. That, you know, these Expendables will not be remembered for the work that they've done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love this.
It's an interesting thing, no, but it's a very interesting way of being like, look, people, you can be replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, before you're replaced, enjoy yourself, do you know?
You know what? I think it's the reason there's so many genres of movies out there. Sometimes you just go to relax and enjoy, you know, a car chase or two. And then sometimes you just need that deeper meaning.
This is just,
I'm here for it.
This is the kind of one where you walk out and it's like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe.
And even with Parasite, there was a whole load of imagery that you could look so much into and think about poverty and
But I think this is... Like it's a stunning looking movie as well. Like you're never thinking, oh yeah. Do you know, sometimes you're like, oh yeah, this is acted. You're like, I was locked in.
I'm going to see this. Give me some black puddings there, please, Brian.
I would give it, okay. I feel, as in terms of a new movie and something different, I feel like it's a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
But I feel like the general audience expecting the hype of Parasite behind it will give it like a 6 or 7.
Okay.
I feel like it's too, I think you need to understand that it's going to be weird and like it's going to be kind of messed up, but in a way that like it makes sense. Like it goes back to what he used to do more.
Okay.
Rather than Parasite.
Well, there you go. Let's stick with the 9 black puddings out of 10 from Brian. Give it a go. Robert Pattinson, always brilliant in stuff, and so many other stars in there as well. It is called Mickey 17. It is out now. Brian, thanks a million.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.